Blog Talk Radio.
I'm on my way.
To talk. You have Yaomi Inka here this evening, and I'd like to thank you for joining my show. I hope that you're up for reading, and to those of you who have been following me for a while now, thank you so very much for following me, and I will have a guest on today. I'll be speaking with Deborah Roberts, and we will finish up leaving our mark. Now, I want to also let you know that we will have a guest speaker tomorrow. We finally got some technical difficulty things together, and they're under control, and we will be about our business of reading. And I hope you're doing fine this evening. I hope those teachers and readers are getting ready now and are tuning in. Teachers, if you're out there, I'd like to hear from you. Please do call in. And all of those providers, I don't want to forget about the providers, the the providers who normally support this show, the child care providers, the home providers, the homeschoolers as well. I'd like for you to call in today. Haven't heard very much from you. This show is being dedicated to you and hope that you will get involved with literacy coaching. We have covered quite a bit this week, and in the process of completing our sixth series in a couple of days. I'd like for you to stay with us. Thank you for allowing me to borrow your time, take some deep breaths now. I'm asking you to lend me your ear, and thank you for allowing me to be in your world, and I will give your world back to you in approximately 1 hour. So I'd like to thank you so very much, and we do have our caller on the phone. Our guest is on the phone, and I'd like to say hello to her, so give me a chance here. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Are you in the air? My guest, Deborah Roberts, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi, Deborah. Yes,
hi,
I can
how
hear
are you?
Plain and clear. I'm just fine. We're so happy to hear that you are going to join us today, and we have plenty to talk about. And what I would like to do, the structure of the program, I'd like to give a little introduction about our topic that we're going to be doing today, making your mark. Mm-hmm. And I'm asking that the listeners call in with questions. And listeners, this is Mrs. Roberts, Deborah Roberts. She is an author, a publisher, writer, and self-publisher, I might add. And I will be asking those self-publishers to call in and to get their questions answered. And also support the show by talking about things that they could do to make their mark in the area of publishing. This is a show that pertains to reading, focusing in on all of the aspects of oral reading and orator. So we will be featuring guests on our show that we can interview to talk about their careers in publishing and writing. Deborah, why don't you tell the audience a little bit about who you are? And what I'll do is take a break after that, and then we'll come right back to the audience, and we'll be in the air. If you can explain to them a little bit about how you got into writing and what was one of your very first inspirations to cause you to write.
Well, I'll tell you how I actually got into writing. This many, many years ago. I've experienced many things in my life, and I always wanted to be a writer, but I didn't really know how to write, so I would pray to Most High and ask Him to show me how to write. And so I would write everything on the inside of me, and I would boggle all this information on the inside because I didn't know how to get it out and put it on paper. And so as I began to progress in my life and grow older, I had an encounter with the Most High, and it's like this gift began to flourish in me. And I began to read the Bible and read many other authors' books and in the library all the time and just studying. I just grew this insatiable hunger to learn more. And so, and in my experience, I began to write. And then I decided that I would go to school to Columbia College to enhance and improve on my writing. And so I did. I took up broadcast writing. And amazingly, my teacher, he pointed out to me, he says, Deborah, he said, you're really such an excellent writer. Have you ever had any other writing experience or gone to any schools? And I said, no. And he says, you're on a higher level than even the students there here. And he told me, he encouraged me to keep up my writing. And he says, you know, if you keep up your writing like this, he says, one day you're going to have a bestseller.
Now, I have a question, Deborah. Do you think that this might be a supernatural gift? That's the reason why you were able to pick up this art and skill of writing. Do you use any form of technique? Like I know there are some writers that use meditation as a form of getting ready for their positioning for writing a manuscript. Do you think that this might be a gift of some sort?
Yes, I believe that it is a gift. Because like I said, I hadn't had any former training, and I was always writing notes and papers and studies all the time. It was just this inspiration, and it was just this compelling me to do this, to write and to give these messages out to the people and encourage them also to read and to do research as well. So, yes, I do believe that is a gift that was given from the Most High to bless the people.
I'm glad you explained that, and we're going to be right back with you, audience, and we'll be in the air. Deborah, pardon me for station identification, and I'll be right back at you. Did you ever believe in things that you couldn't see? That's what the audience should be asking themselves, because there apparently has been a miracle here with her writing ability. So I'll be right back in the air. We'll pause now.
Did you ever believe? Arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Biriako Garth. Did you ever believe in things that you couldn't see? Or things you thought you could never be? Like a dreamer, that's what I've learned to be. Believing for things that I can't see.
Okay. I just wanted you to hear that little break in the segment, because I'm going to be back at my desk talking about a series of things. Deborah, if you'll just stay in the air with me and let me give a little introduction here about Making Your Mark. We've been working on symposiums. We've actually gone all the way through 1-4, and we're on the fourth workshop today. And we have a guest in the audience with us, Deborah Roberts, who will be talking about making her mark in society and how she was gifted and bestowed upon the ability to write. Now, I would like to say I'm a writer also, Deborah, and my writing didn't start till late in life. I didn't start writing until I was around 48, which is rather late. And I was bestowed upon the ability to meditate, and while meditating, I discovered I could write while I was in a meditative state. Mm-hmm. And I began to write my poetry during that particular time while overseas. And I began to compile writing for about 3 years. I wrote consistently every day at the same time while in meditation. And some of the pieces that I wrote, Deborah, I have to tell you that I certainly did not remember writing them and could not recite them verbatimly because they were not committed to memory. They were actually given to me while under meditation. Now, that is a form of writing also. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit more about when you first start writing? Did you find that it was something supernatural, or were you always a writer when you were in school?
Yes, I do. Like, again, I do find it as supernatural. It's a gift that was given to me, and I've always been really creative, even in songwriting and also singing. That's a gift also. And so that compelled me even more with my singing and the dancing and the writing. And then poetry started coming a little later. And so, you know, that's how it all happened to me. That's how it all just began to snowball and come together for the most part.
Very good, very good. Well, you know, I had many desires to talk to the audience about the method in which they can prepare to become publishers. And that is going to be a hot topic for this evening, about how do you become a self-publishing marketer, and how do you obtain your ISBN number, and to also know that you have to get copywriting procedures done for your writing. Some of the writing, you could also become a writer where you put your writing in the form of an orator, but that has to be copywritten as well. And you can, you know, actually sell your products, and there are a number of places you can park your material. We'll be talking about that. Now, let me do a quick summary, Deborah, if you don't mind, on the topic of making your mark. We were talking to teachers and parents out there about constructing the knowledge about writing and how to develop a love for children, the love for writing in the children. We were speaking briefly about scribbling being the first stage of writing, and how parents should not disregard that and should encourage children to do a lot of scribbling, because teachers know that that's the first preparation for writing. And those children usually go on to be great writers. And I know that for a fact, because I had opportunities of being with children for 2 years in a looping program where they started with me in preschool and ended up with me kindergarten and first grade. And I saw the progress of their writing and their handwriting improved. Now, penmanship is not indicative of good writers, because you could be a person who is not articulate and not precise in your writing and still become a good writer. I think note-taking is very important, and for me, I found that talking to people, some of them have dreams, and I say every day we're dreaming during the day. We don't have to go to sleep to dream. We carry out our daily progress through our dreams, and some of us are dreaming while wide awake, and mm-hmm. I want to talk about that because there are many dreamers out there. If we have dreamers in the audience and you are a dreamer, you have imagination that's wild, and sometimes you let your imagination go away with you. I'm saying pick up a pen and pencil and begin to transcribe and write, because that is really you acting out your subconscious mind. Now, Deborah, I'd like to ask you a little bit about poetry, and do you have any poetry with you that you can share with us today?
Oh, yes, I do. I have several pieces here.
Would you like to read? Would you care to read some for the audience?
Yes, I would. Okay. And the first one I have here is called Mama Africa, and it kind of goes like this. Africa, Africa, Mama Africa. All of the children are offsprings of yours, birthed from the womb of the universe. As you nourished us upon your warm, suckling breast, and lended your shoulder as a tower of strength, looking smack dab into the face of antiquity. Oh, how I've longed to see you again, only left of a snapshot from my next of kin. For the life of me, how could I ever sing complete, missing your folklore, pedagogy, and the most awesome intrigue of the fluent tonal language that we spake, when they're teaching us not Eurocentric history, but to activate our story. Then I was stolen and wrought by the nefarious tactics of stealth and brutal compromise. Could you ever imagine that's how the transatlantic slave trade travesty became virtual reality? Resilient black bodies exposed, given in exchange for very colored beads and presumably toxic alcohol. Why, psychotic enough, my birthright was sold for a promissory note, and that ain't no joke. When deposited in the bank, ironically, it flashed back insufficient funds. Therefore, throwing caution to the wind, as it was all but a precalculated scheme, as they forged me away into a strange land. While shockingly heard were repeated sounds of smoking guns, flogging whips, and locked chains that quickly brought me into chattel restraint, 1864. But somehow, with all the commotion, I managed to garner enough strength, peering out of the corner of my bloody iris. While I was astonished to see treacherous men with pale skin committing crimes against humanity. As no voice protested that it was morally outrageous, the sins of their fathers were passed down through many generations. However, they continued with their monetary reprisal to subjugate, beating, and rape, striking the beauty of my black-blue face. For a native-born African, there appeared to be no escape. Compromise being the largest settlement of forced migration entering the middle passageway. Subsequently, the slave men brutally packed us into ships like a can of stinking sardines, only momentarily to be thrown overboard as human cargo into a watery, pitiful grave. While it was quite revealing, death had gripped my name as I struggled, continually drowning in the epitome of shame. Therefore, the contrast metaphorically changed, translating via my soul as a soaring bird and to heaven's charter plane. I guess I would have a fury of questions. How on earth could this be my final portion? And if that wasn't mayhem enough, the bloody man-eating shark violently attacked, bitterly mauling away at my thick rubber flesh, only later to reenact where the dinosaur bones collect, appearing still, lying motionless as dead corpses at the bottom of the Atlantic Oceanic. Therefore, bravely accompanying me were 60 million significant other abductees. Since the sea of relatively ancient genetic faces left remarkable traces and lithographic sketches that has profoundly depicted the black history genre into uproar vortex spiraling out of a watery graveyard lineage.
Excellent, excellent, Deborah. Yes. I love that. I love the rise and fall in your voice and the intonation you put on the very beginning with the singing. It reminded me of something that I do. Excuse me, I didn't think that many people did this, where they actually got into the poem and started to sing. Because for me, I think poetry is song, but just written down. And, you know, I always start to sing it, and then I go into writing. So now I know that other people do the same thing. That was excellent.
Well,
and the inspiration for that, where did it come from?
It came from the depths of my soul, and this is what I was feeling about Mama Africa. With the word Africa spelled A-F-R-E-E-K-A. It means the free Africa, the entire continent that the Most High wants to free and bring it back into relationship with Him. And so this is what I was feeling, all of the things that they had gone through the transatlantic slave trade, and even up until now.
I could feel you in that poem. I really could feel you in that poem.
Your poem
was very, very touching. You are a true storyteller. I can see that. I'm going to take a break, audience, and bear with me for a second. I'm going to take a break and listen to In God's Attribute, one of my written poems that you can listen to. It's also out in the Lulu.com, and we'll be talking about Lulu.com and how you can park your material there, okay? Are you there?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay. All right, make sure you're there. Oh, no, let me see here. They got things mixed up again.
Did you ever believe?
See what happens here. They put different things on here. Let me see. If Come Get This Teaching is working.
Okay.
Come Get This Teaching, arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. Come Get This Teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying, and you know I'm not lying. Well, we've taken our music to another place, somewhere out there in the middle of space, busting out with lines of ebonics, reducing ourselves to a level of demonics, when we can be pushing albums that blunt it. Instead, we choose to front it. Well, we don't take without giving back. We do this in order to circumvent lack. It's a fact. It's the principle of reciprocity in act. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. While we've gone from paying some dues to singing someone else's blues, we can't continue to allow ourselves to be used. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. We went from segregated to integrated to miseducated, now to reeducated. It's time. It's time. We've been dedicated before we soon regret it. Put down the pipes. Lift up your heads and let's possess the mics. For we're taking this music to a brand new height. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Once rendered mute, unable to use the words of our own pursuit, we've got a brand new vocabulary at our disposal. While we're not even writing our own proposals, while the stories of the ghetto hood unfold, of the coming one to be foretold. Didn't you know it? That it's our time now to manufacture our own flavor of rhymes. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Let's take the message to a higher ground, like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. Well, we don't have time for fooling around. Let's take the beat. Let's take the beat where we can all get down. Knowledge and truth is what the people want to hear in this critical time of living in fear. Let's possess the stage like the coming of the new millennium age. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying, and you know I'm not lying. Now I'll ask you, are you the one, or is there another to come to take this music to a higher level? And if you aren't, then come get this teaching and give it to those who I'm not reaching.
Thank you. We'll be right back in the air with you, ladies and gentlemen. Station identification. We'll pause for one more.
Agree. I won't hold you up like some common thief. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out this door. I'll be sure. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff's case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes. Get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for listening to the poetry. We're going to get back to our guest who's out there in the air. Guest, are you still out there, Deborah?
Yes, I'm still here. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. And audience, listening audience, please do call in with your questions. We urge you to call in, ask questions about self-publishing and how to get started writing and how do you leave your mark. And we know that the Egyptians left their mark all over Egypt, all over the walls, and that was a form of leaving their mark. But what do we do when we have a scribbler in the house? What do we do when we have a child that scribbles and scribbles? Is that a sign that she is making preparation to become a writer? And how do you harness that? And how do you direct that child into positive opportunities to become a writer? Deborah, could you comment on that for me? If you have a writer, a child in the house that's scribbling on everything, and everywhere you go, you're having to scrub and you're screaming at the same time, how do you divert that and change that to a positive situation?
Yes, I could describe that as a child that is gifted, but it's up to the parents to be able to hone in on that and not see that as something destructive, but to see that something constructive, and then watch that child as it goes along, you know, and not be so negative towards what might possibly be something that really catapults and something really beautiful. Yeah, the parents should really be observant to see if they have an eye for writing and an eye for art or an eye for music. Yeah,
well, you know, Deborah, I have seen in some classrooms where teachers will drape paper around the room and they will let the child know we're going to take dictation and it's okay to only write if mother puts paper up on the easel that she can write on. And
yeah,
you encourage and harness that gift so that the child is not discouraged. And one of the things that us teachers do, we actually write blocks of paper and sometimes we do silhouettes of the child. And we let them trace their bodies, and then they write all in the inside of their bodies where the organs would normally be.
Mm-hmm.
And we encourage that scribbling because we know the next stage is to go into formalizing letters and writing. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about, controlling the scribbling. After spending several months with a child scribbling and making important discoveries, we discover things in the child too. We
mm-hmm.
discover what's in the child that they normally can't articulate. And that's their way of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
Some children are not profound readers or talkers, and some parents may even say, my child's not talking, but he's doing a lot of scribbling. But he is trying to communicate through the scribble.
Mm-hmm.
And I can control the marks. The child feels empowered. When you give a child a pencil and allow them to scribble, they feel empowered. And that's what I want to talk about. How empowered do you feel, Deborah, when you're writing?
I really feel empowered when I'm writing. It's like take me into another state of mind or into another realm, you know, where that I can explore. I mean, it really is, I mean, it's therapy for me. It is. When all of my answers to problems and questions just fade away, just dissolve when I'm writing. All my answers start coming for me, and it's really therapeutic to just steal away and be empowered by writing. Yes.
Well, you know, Deborah, I've seen children change overnight. If you are out somewhere and a child may be a little fussy, crying and screaming, you put a pen or a marker in their hand and watch the expression on their face. They look at you like, you mean you want me to have this pen? And it's almost like saying, I'm giving you the power.
Yeah.
And I'm empowering you. They begin to start to act like a grown-up and act civilized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing with us. When we're given the opportunity to write what's on our heart and things that trouble us from day to day, and
yes,
we get the opportunity to express ourselves and somebody will actually become our audience and listen, those of us who've been waiting for so long, like maybe you and I, Deborah,
yes,
we seize that opportunity. And
yes,
listen, audience, I'm telling you to seize the opportunity. Act as if your very life depends on it, because writing is a tool to open up and unlock doors for you financially as well. I didn't know this until I found out that I was a writer and someone asked me to write and appear in a contest, which I
yes,
won second place for. Then I knew I was a writer. And
yes,
I figured what I didn't know, I could explore it, I could research it, and I can find that information and compile it and cite the information. There's nothing wrong with not having the knowledge. The problem is to write about something without utilizing other people's information. You can always profit from using your information and citing it properly and giving them credit. And
yeah,
it makes you look like a professional. You don't have to know everything to be a writer. I tell people I have good resources. It's not that I have all-encompassed knowledge. Wouldn't you find that to be true, Deborah?
Yes, I find that to be very true. You don't have to have a certain degree to write, because a lot of it, when you're gifted with it, then the words will accompany you, you know, and everything will just be there for you. The Most High will lay out everything for you, even the wordings and how to express it, the entire thing. It's a blessing. It really is.
Well, you know, I found that writing encompassed having a good handle with vocabulary and having a large vocabulary. I found that not necessarily having a good handle with writing, with poetry, as it was to have a large vocabulary. So each day I started to increase my vocabulary by finding several different words and different ways you can say things.
Yeah.
However, we do know that in poetry, people use a lot of irregular codes and slang words.
That's
and
right.
It doesn't necessarily make it wrong, because people are writing from their frame of reference now. So when people go to correct my work, I said, don't correct anything that may be slang, because I'm trying to insert that there to make a point.
Right.
And sometimes people can get really upset, and they'll say, well, that's not appropriate, and that's not proper English. And I'll say, well, we're writing with broken language because we're writing urban style. Do you know what I
yes,
mean, Deborah? Do you get my drift, urban style?
Yes.
Can we kind of talk on urban style for a minute?
Yes. It's like I think it's, you know, in the African-American culture, we have adopted, you know, our own languages. And so they call it Ebonic, but it's not a language that you learn. It's just genetically in us, and that's how we express ourselves. And so a lot of other people, they don't understand it. They say it's incorrect usage of language, but it's not. This is how we see it, and this is how we speak it, and it's real, and it's alive to us.
And you
so
know,
you have to,
that is so true, Deborah. I'm sorry. I was trying to insert something. What you're saying makes a lot of sense, because language comes about, you can create a language from making it a regularized code. If you
yeah,
use it regular enough, no matter how incompetent or inappropriate it is, it can become a language because it is used on a regular basis and it's understood.
Yes.
So that's why when African Americans incorporate their own shortcuts and
mm-hmm.
they shorten things, that's because we have a lot to say, and for so long we have been prevented, and we have not been able to speak freely.
Yes.
Nor we. And when we finally got the time and the ability to do it, we have so much to say that our words run into each other, so we shorten everything. And I find young people just shortening everything, and
right.
you almost have to get a dictionary to figure out what they're saying.
Yes, absolutely.
And yes. one of the things I wanted to also point out, Ebonics, when they speak of Ebonics, at one point I didn't think that was a good idea to use Ebonics when I was in school teaching, but as I got older and started writing poetry, I welcomed Ebonics because
yes.
some words just don't fit in the poetry.
Yes.
Do you agree with that, Dale?
Yes, I do. I agree most heartily because that's how I began to feel, too, as I began to write the poetry. And it came out different for me than my regular writing. You know, I began to not be so critical, and I began to understand the reason, the way we write and the reason why we say certain words. I think it's really beautiful. I think it's awesome.
I think it is, too.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you. I think it is, too. For example, I wanted to shorten the word sister because I kept saying sister. And somebody said, why don't you just shorten that and say and spell it out with the A-H, sister,
yes.
and soja, and wanna, W-A-N-N-A. And I had a hard time using those words, but once I started flowing with it, it made
yeah.
a lot of sense. Because I start writing too much when I first started doing poetry. I have too many words. And I said, this will never work. I said, I am writing too many words. It doesn't take the that's and those, and we could take some of that out.
Yeah.
And the words out, and people will know what I'm saying. And if people know this, Africans at one time didn't speak with verbs, and their language was very different than Egyptians. Their language was so much different than ours is, and they didn't have all the vowels that we have. So
yeah.
now we just added so many. I think with the Germans coming about with their dictionary, they added so many extra words where
yeah.
our vocabulary was very simple and short.
Yes, I agree.
Now, I want to go on here, and I want to make some more insertion for your teachers that are out there, and if you're writing poetry with your children, you're ready to make your mark. Let's get set, get ready, and let's make our marks. Because guess what, teachers? You can publish for your children. You can get your children together, find out what they think, dictate what they're saying, and write poetry for your classrooms. Yes, you can do that for your preschoolers and your kindergarten, but you must document and cite it very well and give the children credit who are writing the poetry and use yourself as an editor. You could do that. You can go right on Lulu.com, and I am putting prompts in for Lulu.com right now, and Lulu.com has a special series where you can write children's books for the children, or you can allow the child to write the book himself, and you may assist the child. I think it's a fabulous way to start a child off writing and to see his words published and in writing. I'm telling all of those potential writers out there to go to Lulu.com also and get a chance to take advantage of their special that they have going on. They have a number of specials going on, and I will have to tell you the truth. I didn't know how valuable Lulu.com was until I stopped working as a teacher and realized all the publications they had available. I've been parked on that site for almost 3 years and didn't realize all the publication and information they had available. You can also go on tour with Lulu.com and travel, and you can do your book signings. That's one of the things I think that we have to play up, marketing our own material. Lecturing. And Deborah, you and I can see we're going to go on some tours together. I can
yeah.
see presenting you and you presenting me and us going on tours together as I go and lecture and get a chance to do, we can do book signings. And I can see some things really happening for us. We're both musically inclined. The music that Deborah and I do are praise and worshiping music. I also love African chants and African
yes.
drumming. And periodically, I get invites to come into school to do storytelling. I am an international storyteller. I have some things that I'm printing now, and I've been talking to Deborah about how we can get our things in print and get it packaged. And on that note, I want to ask you listeners to call in if you're out there in the air. Lend me your airtime for just a moment, because we are out on the air and we're doing reciting poetry. And we're talking about the early stages of writing for a child when they are scribbling. Is it something that you want to encourage? And do we empower children when we give them a pen or a marker and ask them to write? The fine motor skills I want to talk about. Children's fine motor skills and eye-hand coordination begins to develop when they're pressing against their fingers and manipulating things and squeezing things. So it's a very good idea to help those fine motor skills develop. And as a child begins to strengthen his fingers and write, his eyes become strengthened also. So scribbling is not all bad. Now, basic form. One day a child looks at the scribbling and he recognizes some familiar shapes, such as triangles, squares, and circles. And his small little muscle and in his eyes and hands begin to strengthen as he began to use his eyes to focus. If you watch young children when they come in, their eyes are everywhere. They're not focused. They're not settled. You have to help settle a child. And that's what we talk about, lap time. When you read to small children, sometimes you want to put them in your lap and let them get the respiration of your heartbeat. Let them feel your heartbeat so that they can regularize their pulse and slow themselves down. Lap time is very needed in African-American community. Children are not held as much, and nor are they given the lap time that they need. That's during the time that you're forming, you're holding their little hand and guiding their hand as they make the marks on the paper and reassuring them that what they're doing is all good. And you're reassuring them that someday they'll be a writer. Make a big thing of it, teachers and parents. Oh, you wrote something. You wrote me a note. Will you write my grocery list? Come on over. We're going to do our grocery list, and we'll mail it in our mailbox. Get them involved in writing, because reading and writing goes together. You teach it at the same time, simultaneously. You'll be so happy you did, teachers, because you won't have to go back and reteach this subject again and again. You'll find that if they master writing, they can master reading. They both go together. They're simultaneously taught at the same time. Now, the empowerment stage, when you put that pencil in that little child's hand, he puts a pencil in, he scribbles, and he sees the square. And then he takes that same paper, and he begins to realize that he had control. He took control. Then you tell him that same control that he took during his stage of writing, he must take it in getting along with his peers. Give him some choices or her some choices and say, this is your choice. You can set out or you can choose not to be a part of this. But you give the child the choice, and I'm sure every time he or she will rise to the level of occasion. We're about empowering children, and we're about giving them the baton. Let's pass the baton on of good writing. When we are good writers, pass it on to the child. Tell them that I'm a good writer. I expect you to be a good writer. Practice makes perfect. Get that child involved. Let me take a station identification break here. I want to bring on Deborah back. She's in the air here with us today, and she is going to be reciting some more of our poetry. Right, Deborah?
Yes. I'm eager and ready to go again.
All right. Let me just take a break here, Deborah. And God's attribute, and it has to be in God's will.
Commitment. Arranged by the author Sherelle Omiyika Bidiako Garth. Commitment is when you've given your word, and your word can stand alone and on its own. It's making an effort when you really don't have the time. It's making ends meet when they really weren't intended to reach. If giving your moral support and backing somehow leaves you feeling lacking because someone failed to give you the backing and you've gone without, then you should know what I'm talking about. Commitment, it's your badge. You should wear it with honor and pride. It's like having good character and integrity. It's not something that you want to hide. Commitment is paying someone else's daily dues, even if at times you find yourself being used. It's your fingerprints. It's your marking of a real, genuine gent. It's your label that makes you feel able, that leaves you feeling stable, that gives you a clear conscience and a good frame of mind, even when you don't feel able. Somehow, you must gather the strength to become stable. When you've completed a task, you don't want someone to stop and ask, hey man, have you completed that task, when you've given your commitment in the past.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're still in the air with me. And we are talking to our guest today, Deborah Roberts. She is a literary poet. She is an orator. And we're talking about making your mark in society with writing and how children can be empowered through putting a very powerful utensil in their hand, such as a marker or a pen, and allowing that child to empower himself. A child uses what he knows about making marks. So whatever you've taught him, that's what he's going to apply. And he uses shapes and he draws pictures. And he'll hand you a picture sometime and say, here, this is my name. And you wonder, why can't he write letters? Because he's starting to first do what he does best, that scribble and draw pictures that are recognizable to others. And why can't you see the writing within his picture? Use your imagination. She has figured out the pictures are symbols and real things. The child knows that writing is something important to adults. So when they do a drawing and give you that drawing, it's their utmost best that they have to offer. This understanding goes hand in hand with the understanding that words, too, are symbols. Make sure that you tell the child that words are symbols. They express themselves. And at this stage, the child plans, you have to plan ahead for the child. Be ready for the child. Set your environments up, teacher. Have blocks of paper, lots of markers with flavor colors so that they can sniff them, not put in your mouth, and tell them markers are meant to be written with because you're a big girl, a big boy, and you must use them appropriately. The child thinks about what he wants to draw or paint and carries out this plan and names their creation. Once again, they're in power. They begin to name their creation, and they continue to include scribbling and writing, and next to their picture, they might put a couple letters and string some letters on and say, this is my name. That's very important for a child because he takes ownership once again. He's being empowered and taking ownership. A lot is going on in this writing because now he's stringing the best that he has to give, a couple of the letters in his name. They may not be sequentially in order, but they're telling you, I know all the letters, but I just haven't committed all of them to sequence. Start teaching them sequencing. Show them the first thing you do is take ownership of your name. And once you take ownership of your name, the alphabet will come easy for you. Now, children every day should be also doing affirmations, mother. So when you take the powerful word and use it in affirmation, the child knows that words are important to you and that when you finally do speak, you mean business. And when you say, these are affirmations that we will do every day, the child will rise to the level of occasion. I pledge today to open my mind, to seek and to learn new knowledge. My mind, my body, and the words I speak are clean. I'll obey my parents, my teacher, and myself. And I'll use my education to stay in school and to make a new and better world. And to make a new and better world. That's what we're trying to do today, audience. We're trying to work it out. For those teachers who need a little bit more and need a little bit more encouragement, I'm telling you, come on board today and get encouraged about reading. Would you care to read with us today? Bring your poetry. We're asking you to come and listen and talk and make insertions and ask about questions that you were wondering about. How do I make my mark as an artist? How do I make my mark as an essay writer or as a journalist? How do I get involved? What are the steps? For me, I tell you, it was very important that I understood that I could be a publisher and I wanted to have my own label and my own publishing house. So I started keeping my work to myself rather than outsourcing it, giving it to someone. And I published my first collection of poetry. And I didn't know I was a publisher until Lulu told me that once I parked it out there and presented a manuscript to them, I'm up. Okay? And we're going to get back to our guests. Guests, you're still in the air. I want to take these last few minutes to have you give us some recommendation for making your mark in the world and how to become a poet. So real quick before the 6 o'clock hour, Deborah, you're in the air.
Okay, thank you once again. I like to share a second piece of my poetry, and it's called Afritone Sisters. Afritone Sisters. Your face is on open display, carved by the Shona sculptors of Zimbabwe, shown exhibited in the gallery as a spring stone work of art gone to the highest bidder at an astronomical price. Why visual to the peripheral eye, you're an enigmatic crossword puzzle trying to feverishly connect the dots on how your melanin skin and inheriting genes produces an interwoven tricolor scheme. Facial hue smooth as mocha cream, there being unveiled the artistry of light surreal, with figurative images and a stroke of geniusness creating ethnic faces that graces the covers of Essence magazine. Immerse widely into congruent relationships, while sisters toning their vibrant voices in three-point harmony, as if to sing neo-soul poetry with a groove and urban swing. Sisters feeling free-spirited, reminiscing on way back in the day, integrating culture rhymes into their child's play. Why, it's a cakewalk from them swaying those dinosaur curves and hips, letting their backbone slip. Oh, shake it to the east. Oh, shake it to the west. Oh, shake it to the one that you love the best. Rotating their necks like elegant giraffes with homegrown lock section off, dipped in frosted tips, syncopating the motion of every strand, while naturally flowing with strings of comedic jokes and hilarious laughter, trying to blast you. While sisters wearing spicy brown lipstick outlined in black, spread it smoothly upon their swollen, bee-stung lips. I bet you without an ounce of collagen. Uttering melodic phrases of ebonic slang, a tongue-twister words their own foreign language. Saying, honey, don't speak to the hand, but to the ear. Why, show me the action by paying them bills. Afritone Sisters, decorum is off the hook for real. Bumping attitudes, gaining altitude, universal soul searchers, great facilitators, popcorn baby makers, viewed as prognosticated and certified holistic healers. You see, the fiber in the apple don't fall too far from the tree. Networking their wares in the marketplace, even going on continuous shopping sprees. Purchasing pure frankincense oils and acrylic nails, stopping traffic in midstream, hailing down checkered taxi cabs with a thumbs-up appeal. Living way above their essential means, but whatever she dreams weaves is all good and linkage to a BMW, preferably a black man working, While sisters sowing secret prayers, asking the creator to grant a down payment on success, merited a Kidzy Award for excellent modality, or taking it to another level of accolades. Starring in a motion picture film, winning an Oscar for Best Actress of the Year, Nikeesh Grant Powell being the first in our family to receive her PhD 2008, strolling as a brave lioness down the red carpet runways of the University of Illinois commencement of events. Therefore, so rightly deserving and chosen the first shero of African descent, which will be recorded into our family history. Why, sisters is mover, sisters is shaker, sisters no phony petunia, sisters is earthquakers. At best, she is the reshaping of a cultural flowering, having been raised to a level of awakened consciousness, learning through the rites of passage, always creating looming spontaneity. Therefore, rejoicing in the brightness of the sunlight's aura resonating out of a string of vibratory chords that is connected to the rhythmic genetic coding that originally birthrighted out of her Afritonalness. Yeah.
Thank you so much. And we'd like to thank our listening audience, and we'd like to thank our guests for being on the show today. Our time is up. Deborah, we'd like to invite you back again and have you on our next series working with souls, working with spirit, soul, mind, and body. And we're going to have Deborah back as a guest at a later date. And Deborah, your poetry is fantastic.
Thank you. We'll
be talking this evening. And thank you so much for joining us, and have a blessed day. And to the audience out there, I give you your world back. You are now out of the air. Odabo Asante Sana. Thank you very much. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you for having me.
Later. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.